Hey, what's happening? What's going on in Sharkland? This is Eric from the Shark School with another episode of Let's Talk Shark. In the last episode, we covered stress as a motivation to bite. Today, I'd like to tackle a motivation that needs some bit thinking outside of the box, okay? It's called target practice. I believe that white sharks on some occasion use surfers to hone their skills in catching seals, and so the surfer is a substitute. So why is that? First, we have to get a bit of background of white shark hunting, especially targeting seals. White sharks do not go after seals until they have a considerable large size of about 3.5 to 4 meters, let's say 12 to 15 feet. Of course, they can try before, but their speed and agility does not enable them yet to be successful. Even more so, even their teeth are not yet shaped to be successful in gouging pieces out of a seal's body. Gouging is done by taking a full bite and then start shaking the head, where especially the upper jaw functions like a saw, and a piece is then bitten out in the process. So a white shark first feeds on fish that he can swallow whole, done through suction feeding. And even when a shark is large enough to go after seals, fish is still a major part of its diet. But over time, the teeth start to develop for gouging and the shark gets larger, so seals are then on the table. Then the shark, of course, cannot just sit on the table and grab the seal. No, he has to learn how to do that, so he has to hone its skills and go after seals. That is not an easy task, considering that even fully grown and experienced white sharks have a success rate of about 30%. Just as a comparison, other super predators like lions, tigers, and so on don't do much better than about 30%. By the way, as a reminder, super predator means this is a predator who goes after other predators, okay? Anyway, so white shark is a super predator. So it starts to get the size that enables it to go after seals. Now, how to go about it? The best is to learn by playing the predator going after seals. Of course, a white shark could already use real seals to train, but this is connected to a few problems. First of all, the young shark needs to get close to any seal hole out where also larger sharks lurk. And this can come to conflict right there, since larger sharks also have a 70% fail rate. They sure won't tolerate that smaller sharks interfere with their approaches, you know, scare seals off or interfere with an actual attack. So some of it has been shown in a study down from South Africa, where hits were cataloged with reference to Seal Island, with the distance to Seal Island. The outcome was that larger animals had smaller ranges than the smaller sharks, and they were, of course, closer to the island. That actually makes sense. Of course, the larger animals chase off smaller ones and claim their territories. Sharks don't really have territories, by the way, but when it comes to food, these are the temporal territories, so there's a little area where territory really can play a little role. Anyway, the smaller sharks have to train then in less favorable areas, and that may not be a great situation, since these less favorable areas, they're really lower visibility, maybe lower density of traveling seals, shallower, and so on. So although they can train, a seal is not really a good goal to go after because they're just not big enough. So, but if that is not enough, then there's also harassing by the seals. It can be observed quite often that several seals get together and start to harass a white shark by biting into its tail, the top of the head, the first dorsal fin. And I've seen 15, 16-foot white sharks who had a lot of these marks from seals. And such an experience is quite unnerving for a smaller white shark, and chances are it just withdraws. So all these problems do not help to hone its skills to get close to seals without being noticed and then go full speed. Of course, you know that I am at surface now, of course, it would be a good substitute for a seal. But of course, back millions of years, we did not exist, but the problem was only there for the white sharks. So how could they got around back then? There are several possibilities, and there are two, I think these are the main two. Probably the best one is resting birds on a surface. although white sharks do not really feed on birds. I mean, once in a while you see some birds in their stomachs if there's a stomach content analysis. But chances are that young white sharks might go for it, or at least did in the past. A resting bird is a good substitute. However, what a white shark can't compensate for is likely aim for the front and back, since the silhouette of a bird looks rather different, so it can only go after the actual approach. Another substitute that occasionally frequents the surface are turtles. Here as well, the shark can pretty much go through all the phases needed for a successful hunt of a seal at a surface, with the exception of front and back should the animal not move. And this is whenever you see how a seal gets bitten by a white shark, most of the time the bites are in the hind body and not in the head area. But overall, it's not even important that the shark aims at orientation of the substitute, since it primarily needs to work on quickness and agility, and both can be trained. It can't be said for how long a white shark uses substitutes, but I would imagine for quite a while. I'm sure there is a transition stage between simulating and going after turtles and birds and the real deal, but for how long that might be, I can't be said. So chances are, I mean, what we would need, of course, would be injured turtles to get an idea of the bite size. But I would think when a shark reaches about 3 meters, 10 feet or so, it starts looking for substitutes. Likewise, it can only be guessed if a white shark keeps going through simulations once it successfully killed a seal. Considering how often a shark, white shark really eats, or I mean, some scientists claim they eat every month or so. I really doubt that. But if you don't go after a seal for months and then you start all over, chances are, you know, you will fail. So what is the percentage of surfers being substitutes with regards to the overall incidence? I'm not too sure, but it does not seem to a large extent, since the majority of bites fall into the exploratory category, which reflects a complete different approach pattern. But it perfectly fits some of the cases we see where the wound patterns mimic the wounds on a seal, intensity-wise and location-wise. Oh, by the way, if you still wait that I talk about mistaken identity, you know, a white shark mistakes a surfer for a seal, I have to disappoint you. That we did in the past. Just look up summaries of the podcast and you will find mistaken identity. Just to make sure, mistaken identity does not exist. So even on the rare occasion where the wound pattern looks like the one the shark really would have thought it might be a seal, can explain be differently. Yes, again, target practice. Anyway, if you like the scientific paper we wrote about it, then send me an email through Let's Talk Shark and I send it to you. Okay, that's it for today. Tune in again for another show of Let's Talk Shark. Have a great day, and if you meet a shark out there, have fun, enjoy the moment, and remember, it is a privilege.